You know, there's a couple of ways we could get started here. And I think I'm going to go this route. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing, and I do mean nothing, can disturb your peace of mind. I know you saw this coming. I like to be a bit predictable. Promise yourself to talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to whom every person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family feel like there's something in them. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything, and in your own life, make your own optimism come true for you. Promise yourself to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and expect in life only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own, and forget about mistakes you've made in the past. You've learned from them, and you are pressing on to your greater achievements in your very near future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give so much time to your own self-improvement that you do not have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy in life to permit the presence of trouble because you, and yes, I do mean you, are an optimist. Welcome aboard. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said one day. Yes, it is. Oh, man, what a great day. Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous twilight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. That is how you do the anthem, and that is how you start a world-class radio program. I'm Christopher Story, along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Today, coming up on the program, an author, speaker, and blogger called Dan Rockwell is going to talk to us about leadership.
Is this what you really want to bring all the time? You know, oh, we can't do anything. You know, let's just sit around and, you know, in the basement playing video games. Is that really what we want to bring?
No, it's not what you want to bring. Dan's going to tell us all about leadership and his brand new book called The Vagrant. It's fantastic. I think you're going to love it. And you're going to love my conversation with Dan Rockwell. I called Kelly Chewbacca this morning. By the way, hang on one second. Oh, that's good. Captain's Coffee, captainscoffee.com. It tastes as good as it sounds. Oh, that's good. Kelly Chewbacca called me back. She said, Chris, I didn't get your voicemail yet, but what's up? And I said, Kelly, just look, we miss you. We love you. We want you to be our senator. We want you to be, I don't know, governor, senator, something. And how's it going with repealing and upturning ranked choice? And she goes, oh, I thought you were calling me because of...
We're launching an exciting new podcast, Stand, where courage is contagious and cowardice comes to die.
We're going to feature inspiring national leaders, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and everyday heroes who are going to equip you and empower you to boldly stand up to life's challenges one episode at a time.
I'm your host, Kelly Chewbacca.
And I'm your co-host, Nikki Chewbacca.
You won't want to miss a single episode, so subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform or find us on YouTube at The Stand Show. Stand firm and stand strong.
That's a brand new show. She just announced it today. I had no clue. I had zero clue that she was doing this, her and her husband, Nikki, didn't know, and just so happens, great minds were thinking alike. She's going to be on the program next week here on Top of the World, and she'll be telling you all about that show. One of the things she told me was that what she learned in running for senator is that the average person, the electorate, many of her supporters, the base, feel disempowered, feel helpless, feel a bit hopeless, and so she's bringing incredible people like Larry Elder and many others from Bill O'Reilly, others from across the country of note and noteworthy type people that have done extraordinary things. Not all of them are going to be household names. Some are stories of just people like you or me that in their own backyard have done something with what they've got, because each of us has a mission. Each of us has an opportunity. In fact, it dovetails so beautifully with my conversation upcoming with Dan Rockwell that I think you're going to realize this is a message, a universal message right now that you and I need to hear about how we can do things at a local level. And all the difference is going to be made locally. For example, I've been kind of whining and complaining for a while that here in Alaska, we were mandated. Do you even remember this? We were mandated not to travel. Like, you couldn't even travel inside of Alaska. Businesses were closed. Winners and losers were selected by just a couple of people serving at the pleasure of the governor. And I've been saying for a while, we need a revolution. We need to make sure that we have a DeSantis type or style of approach. Our governor's never going to be Ron DeSantis. It's not who he is. He might be 6'7", but he wants to please everybody all the time, and it's never going to be the governor you want. He just isn't. He can't. It's not in his DNA. We've seen it time and again. Bless his heart for trying. He's not a Ron DeSantis, all right? It's not going to happen. But here's what you can do. You can act local. So, okay, we may not get a reversal of mandates in the state of Alaska and say such that we'll never do it again. Never again. We won't be fooled again in Alaska. Maybe it doesn't start there. Maybe it starts at your city hall, at your assembly, at your town, at the local level. Maybe you can adopt a policy right where you are that will never be locked down again. Just, we will not tolerate mandates at this local juncture. Get with your mayor, get with your council, get with your assembly. Get with the local people. Put together a tribe of people that feel the way you do, that are going to stand for freedom, and that will say, never again. We'll never be subjected to arbitrary and capricious rules and decrees from on high. And it can start local. In fact, that's where it has to start.
We'll be fighting in the street with our children at our feet, and the morals that they worship will be gone, and the man who spurred us on and sit in judgment of our own, they decide, and the shotgun sings a song. I'll tip my hat to the new constitution, take a bow for the new revolution, smile and grin at the change all around, pick up my guitar and play just like yesterday, then I'll get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
And that's up to you. It's up to you. We can't put on the governor what we need to do at a local level. And I just love that message. You'll hear it today from Dan Rockwell, leadership expert. His blog is called leadershipfreak.blog. You'll also hear it apparently coming up in Kelly Chewbacca's new program called Stand, The Stand Show with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca. She'll be a guest next week here on Top of the World. We'll find out what prompted this and where she's going. Is this her throwing in the towel for her political future, or is this just a prelude to the next step and getting her name further indelibly marked on the minds of Alaskans? Also, I want to talk a little bit about Jim Rohn later in the broadcast. This is the time of year that I kind of go through my library and spend a little bit of time with some books that maybe I haven't touched enough this year. There's a few books that I read every year, and I may not read it cover to cover every year, but I'm going to touch them and be in the book and in the message and hear the philosophy and think through the eyes and minds of these people that have mentored me for a couple of decades now, like Jim Rohn. And he talked about promises and the price of a promise. So we're going to get into that just a little bit. Plus, again, my groundbreaking award-winning interview with an author and nationally recognized speaker on leadership, Dan Rockwell, when we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. I'm so excited. I'm grateful you're here. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story. It's my privilege and pleasure now, by way of John David Mann, who's become a friend, I had an opportunity to meet Dan Rockwell, and I think you're going to love him. So Dan Rockwell, you've got an MBA, an undergraduate degree in theology, also pastoral ministry, and construction and design. So who are you?
I'm still trying to figure that out. How about you, Chris? Do you know who you are yet?
I guess that's the great mystery of life, isn't it? I guess that's what we're here to do, is figure it out. But I mean, that's a circuitous path to then co-authoring a book upcoming called The Vagrant, The Inner Journey of Leadership, co-authored with John David Mann. I've got a lot of questions about the book, but how would you answer that question? Let's say we stepped onto an elevator together and we're going to go up, I don't know, half a dozen floors or more and just say, hey, who are you, Dan Rockwell?
Well, I think we're always who we were when we were 13. And when I was 13, I was on a dairy farm in central Maine. That's where I was brought up. And all of the things that I learned back then, I'm still living today. I still get up early. I still believe in work. Look, you're brought up on a dairy farm. You wake up in the morning and you don't decide if you're going to go to work or not. As long as you can move. Right. You get up, you go do your chores. And, you know, that has served me well. I haven't lived on a dairy farm for decades. Don't want to live on a dairy farm. But it really did form the person that I am today. So I'm a country boy, love the country. And I still call myself a farm boy, even though it's been decades since I've been on a farm. So I need to catch up.
Who better than to be a workforce development consultant at Penn State University than you? You did that for over a dozen years, and at some point it occurred to Dan Rockwell, you know what? I'm a bit of a freak. I'm going to start a blog called leadershipfreak.blog. Tell me about the journey of going from a consultant to a blogger.
Well, it's paved with dissatisfaction, Chris.
What?
I'm a huge fan of dissatisfaction as long as it doesn't defeat us. If you can feel dissatisfied, if you can step into dissatisfaction and examine your life, and I went through one of those times. You might call it a midlife crisis, although I've had so many, I'm not exactly sure it's midlife. And I just felt like, you know, you have more in you, you're doing fine, and you could just kind of drift along and be comfortable. But I found myself dissatisfied with myself. And here's the fundamental dissatisfaction that I actually came down to. I didn't realize it. And it goes back to who you are, you know, who I am. I realized I was letting other people define me and define my life. And I had reached a place where all of a sudden, I don't want to do that anymore. And that was shocking and challenging. And thankfully, I didn't unbutton my shirt down to my navel, get a gold chain, divorce my wife, and buy a 2-seat sports car. but it was an important time for us.
And I'm looking at your blog right now. Again, it's leadershipfreak.blog. I highly recommend you go check it out. And I'm looking, Dan, at your picture, and there's no facial piercings or neck tattoos. So, yeah, you really did rein in that crisis. You really did.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I have this idea that nobody's coming for me. Nobody's coming for you. You have to, at some point, as also a blogger, James Altucher wrote a book called Choose Yourself. I think you do have to choose yourself. Nobody's coming for you. Nobody came to Dan Rockwell and said, Dan, man, you've got ideas about leadership that the world needs to read and take in these 300-word bites that you do every day. You need to get out there. No, you had to pick yourself. And so I guess leadership, in a sense, Dan, would be that taking the action on that. I mean, there's a lot of people that would like to do what you're doing. There's a lot of people that John David Mann didn't need another idea. He didn't need this to come up when it did to say, hey, I'm going to co-author the book, The Vagrant. He's got a lot going, but he loved your idea. But you had to first pick yourself. You had to lead from where you are. So what is leadership from your perspective in a nutshell?
Well, you're fantastic. I mean, you know, talk about a landing strip. I mean, let's face it. When you think about leadership, you think about getting a grip on your life and setting a direction, figuring out what you want. All of these things are fundamental, not just to leadership, but to successful living. Like, you know, you ask people, what do you want? They sort of look at you like a cow looks at a new gate. It's like, well, I'm not exactly sure what I want. I want to, make money. I want to have a happy family, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get right down to it, a lot of us are sleepwalking through life. And that's where I think those moments of dissatisfaction do come in. And although I want to say this, Chris, although no one is looking for you, and I believe that, I think you're exactly right. You got to get out and tighten your belt and put your shoes on and start, stepping toward what you're looking for and what you want. Along the way, people have been so instrumental in my journey, and I would bet in your journey too, Chris, that we got to keep our eye open while we're pressing forward to make sure to notice the people who are showing up, because we change our lives because we make decisions. But one of the big decisions that has most changed my life is letting the outside in. I'm an introvert. I don't really care so much about, I love my own company. I'm great to be with for myself. I've been learning and continue to learn, let people into your life. And wow, does that change us?
Which is interesting then, if you read one of your more recent posts on your blog, a person who can't say no is bound to many masters. So how do you recommend somebody go about letting other people in, being a follower and a leader simultaneous, and not just saying yes to everything and going a mile wide and a 3/4 inch deep type person?
Wonderful, wonderful question, Chris. Wonderful. Because you can't say no to everybody. I mean, yes to everybody. You can't let everybody in your life. What I found is that there are certain people who show up, they express some interest, they want to be helpful, excuse me, and that's important, because there are some people who show up and are needy, and although we want to meet people's needs, those often aren't the people who are going to propel you or change your life or challenge you in new kind of ways. So they show up, they want to contribute, they're really talented, they have achieved things that you might like to achieve, and they show up on your doorstep, then open the door and sit down and at least have a cup of coffee.
You've got high praise for this book. Marshall Goldsmith, Ken Blanchard, David Bach, Daniel Pink, and many others, very notable people, have taken recognition of this work that yourself and John David Mann have put together. And I love the book. And I both love and loathe the protagonist at the same time. And what I find that I love about him is very similar to myself. And what I loathe about him is very similar to myself. We have these tendencies, and self-sabotage and all of this plays into the book. It's a wonderful parable. It's a narrative type book, which I know that isn't your necessarily your style. This is new for you. You are a nonfiction blogger type, that deep thinker and putting ideas into the world, and been doing that for a long time. So at some point, though, Dan Rockwell said, I need to put a story out into the world and teach through a parable. Tell us about that iteration of this book, The Vagrant.
So, but I've had the story in my heart for about 10 years. Hmm. And really, at the heart of the story is a guy who wants to do well, can do well, talented, high achiever, but continues to engage in self-defeating behaviors unknown to himself. This is my journey. I think this is probably everyone's journey. We all do things that in the end, we look back on, we think, oh, that was stupid. Why did I do that? You know, things, for example, like shutting people out instead of letting people in. So the story of a person who engages in self-defeating behaviors had been with me for a long time. And I tried to write it a few times, but because I write every day, more nonfiction, very direct, mm-hmm. I just hadn't developed a skill set. And so this is where letting the outside in, letting others in, really comes to play. I thought, you know, who is the best at writing this kind of story, a story with a message? And, well, I knew John David Mann's work. I couldn't think of anybody better. I sent him an email. We got on the phone. In 15 minutes, I told him the story in a nutshell, what the protagonist was doing, the twist at the end, that whole thing that happens in the story. And he said, Dan, I got chills. I love this. Let's do it. That's how quickly that happened. That was about 2.5-3 years ago.
The book, again, is called The Vagrant, The Inner Journey of Leadership. And it's really fascinating. And Dan, I have to say that once I get a hold of a new idea, I have to share it with as many people as possible. And I can't tell you how many people I've said, do you know what a vagrant is? And we all have this idea of what a vagrant is, but the definition is truthfully mind-blowing. It's a bird that's been blown off course in its migratory pattern. I think that's fascinating. So what a great way to sort of shift our thinking. And I guess it's kind of illustrative in the flip side of leadership is following, because that's what you had to do. You're a leader. This is your story. And yet you had to follow John David Mann's lead. So how did that work for you?
Wonderfully. And, you know, we have this idea that leaders are out front. They make all the decisions. They point the way all the time. They tell everybody what to do, which is completely wrong. Leaders are following all the time. And the first person you have to lead is yourself, obviously, and you have to follow there as well. But you're looking for people who are smarter than you, more talented than you, who have done things you would love to do, but you haven't done yet. Now, it doesn't diminish what you can do and what your talents are and all of that. So, you know, when you look at inviting strong people in, you have somebody like John David Mann, who, like I said, John's the best. I mean, he's just, and this story, it was like a motor scooter when I had it. And by the time we got done, it was a Harley Davidson.
I was hoping you were going to pick Harley. I wasn't sure. It could have been anything. And I was thinking to myself, well, come on, Dan, bring it home.
I've listened to your show, so I know what's going on up there.
It's awesome. Speaking of Daniel Pink, he said, and this is on the front cover, his blurb says, "The Vagrant will spark leaders of every kind to reflect on who they are." That is, again, from New York Times bestselling author Daniel Pink. His book, The Whole New Mind and To Sell a Human, you probably are somewhat familiar with. So let's talk about that. Leaders of every kind. We see across the country, we'll stick to the country, we could say the planet, but let's just say we see across the country people attempting to lead in opposite directions. And I guess the question is, what would you like to say to the people at the top of the top, the upper echelon of leaders, quote unquote leaders across the country? What would you like them to know, sort of in a nutshell, about leadership that you think is missing?
I think what's missing in leadership is...
Oh, wait, Dan, come back. What does Dan Rockwell think is missing in leadership, and much, much more when we return to the top of the world? Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. This portion of the program brought to you by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse in Old Town, Homer, Alaska. You deserve a night out on the town. Make it AJ's Old Town Steakhouse in Old Town, Homer. 235-9949. Make a reservation today. What a great surprise for your loved one or friends, family. Say, guess what? We're going to dinner. What? Yep, tonight. Guess where we're going? AJ's Old Town Steakhouse. So Dan Rockwell wrote this book along with our friend of the show, my friend, John David Mann. It's called The Vagrant. It's a business type, leadership type book, but it's told in a parable. It's told in a story. When last we left Dan Rockwell, I'd asked him a question about what's missing in leadership.
I think what's missing in leadership is heart. I think what's missing in leadership is if leaders would engage in some self-reflection, which the book takes people toward and has exercises at the end for, if our leaders would reflect on some of the things that are coming out of their mouths, you would hope they would say, well, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I mean, and we all do this. It's not just, high-level leaders. It's just like because we don't reflect. And we aren't really living out of who we are. We're living out of reacting, and we're living out of trying to please certain people, and we're living out of, trying to demonstrate how great we are. We aren't just settled into who we are. Leadership is a matter of how to be before it's about how to do. And leaders who don't have a core, don't have a center, they don't have a being. You see, they're lost. They're just adrift. They follow the next fancy thing. And they, and we see this in politics or wherever. And I'm not a political expert by any stretch, but we see it all over where people follow the loudest voice or they get pressured into doing things they shouldn't do. Of course, I have to tell you, I had a conversation with the former CEO of Southwest Airlines, and he was Jim Parker. While he was CEO, 9/11 happened. And I asked Jim, I said, tell me, what advice do you like to give leaders? And he said, be yourself. Well, that's the most underwhelming thing I ever heard. I mean, give me a break. But you know what? As time went by, I started to realize that's where it starts.
Yeah. And it's almost too simple. Like, what do you mean be myself? Nobody. And that kind of comes back to maybe full circle to my point about nobody's picking you. You have to pick you, be you. And at the heart of that, I think is another question I'd like to ask you is you're talking to people. We were at 30,000 feet. Let's come down now to the grassroots level, individuals. A lot of us feel helpless. A lot of us feel as though it's hopeless. We've lost touch with the reality. I just heard somebody say the other day something about $32 trillion in debt. We, the average person, can't fathom what $1 trillion is, let alone $32 trillion. And as you take all of this overwhelm at the brink of potentially a nuclear war, all of the things that are going on, we feel a bit helpless. And what can I do to lead? So now we're at grassroots. We're talking to just the individual, maybe a corporation of themselves or their family. They have no real position of leadership that's been handed to them, or they haven't been anointed. What would you say to that person to say, yes, you are a leader, and here's how you can do it?
Get a grip on the things that are within your control. Just go ahead and build the family you want. If it's a business, build the business you want. Build the life you want. Think about it. Just reflect on how we do this, because I do the same thing that most everybody else does, Chris. And I can only watch cable news in small doses because it makes me have to go to the hospital or emergency room for high blood pressure. Right. But, you start looking at that stuff, and then we get helpless. And that's because we are looking at this big picture, and it does feel helpless and it does feel hopeless. However, I have a home right here in central Pennsylvania. You have a home up in Alaska, and we have friends and we have families that we are in touch with every day. You got to figure out, what do you want to bring to them? is this what you really want to bring all the time? You know, oh, we can't do anything. You know, let's just sit around and, you know, in the basement playing video games. Is that really what we want to bring? Or do we want to start building the life we want to build? And the only way to do it is to control the things that are within your touch, right close to you. Start controlling those things.
Wise words, really wise words. In fact, that's another post from theleadershipfreak.blog, Words for the Wise. Just such a great, and I want to come back to the book real quick in a minute, but I just have to say, you are a genius because leadership so often is dry. I mean, the topic itself, you know, when you, I love Ken Blanchard. I've heard you reference him before relative to the One Minute Manager that he wrote with Spencer Johnson and some of their other works. Wonderful, great, great stories. And I do believe that anything can be taught better by parable. So it's wonderful. Good on you for the vagrant. However, you're so witty, and it shows up in the book, but also in your blog. For example, meetings are too big, too frequent, and too long. Hallelujah. Thank you. I love the expression that meetings are a place where good ideas go to die. And I think everybody in a position of leadership, or you'd like to influence your leader, by which you'd become a leader yourself, should go to this blog, leadershipfreak.blog. But you mentioned heart. What's missing from leadership at large would be heart. You have an expression in the book called more compassion, less certainty. And I don't want to give anything away. I want people to read this book and read this story. But how does compassion play into leadership? Because that's not something, it seems almost antithetical.
Oh my. Yeah, I know what you're saying. We grew up with this idea that leaders are tough, demanding, and strict, sort of like the drill sergeant in boot camp. And by the way, there is a place for that. For example, if the house is on fire, I don't want someone holding my hand and sitting down saying, well, what do you think we should do? Right? Get the heck out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a situational component here, but compassion. Just ask yourself, who are the people on your team who are going to give you 110%? The people who feel like you care for them, that you are interested in their success, or the people who feel like you are kicking their butts every day and couldn't care less about what their lives are like? Who is going to give you their best? I mean, the answer is obvious. And that's why I think so often when we get to leadership, the issues of heart and I hate to say loving people, because the word love is so broad in our culture, but seeking the best interest of others, instead of just our own self-interest, that helps us go much further than if we simply go around, you know, throwing our weight around and telling everybody what to do.
Talking here with Dan Rockwell, author of the book, The Vagrant, The Inner Journey of Leadership, also the owner of the great leadership blog. You need to be following the leadershipfreak.blog. Why freak? Where does that come from?
It comes from being freakishly interested in leadership. I was toying around with language and just thinking about how to give a title to the blog. And I became freakishly interested in leadership when I discovered slowly but painfully that I really sucked at it, even though I thought I was great at it. And as soon as that dawning started coming into my mind, I knew I wanted to be good at it. And leadership freak was a matter of toying around with language. And then you got sports freaks and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a little on the edge, and I like that.
Neat freaks. Yeah, I love it too. I think it's really clever. And I just was curious as to where it had come from. One of your blogs there is called Four Bad Habits the Worst Leaders Love, which again, I love the way even just that title makes you stop and think. And the number one bad habit that the worst leaders love is being right. And so it reminds me of Michael Gerber's work with the E-myth or the entrepreneurial myth. He says that it's easy to live in your own blind spot. And I think your character in the book, The Vagrant, your protagonist, is living in his own blind spot, as so many of us are. And the worst leaders are living in the bigger shadow. The bigger the blind spot, the worse the leader probably. And I think it kind of comes down to, in my mind, this question about self-awareness. How do you get out of your own way? Because poll after poll shows employees don't leave employers because of money exclusively. I mean, almost invariably, it's going to be something else. Like, I wanted to matter, do work that mattered. I wasn't noticed. I wasn't appreciated. So the worst leaders love the bad habit of being right. And being right is living in your own blind spot. How do you get out of it?
Well, if you can't see it, others do. And one of the ways is to listen to others. And this can be painful. That's what happens in all of our lives. Somebody has been saying something to you, somebody's saying things to me when we hear it, we think, ah, that's not right. And then somebody else says it. And then somebody else says it. I was told by people I could be pushy. My daughter one time told me, I think you like to scare people. I am a fuzzy teddy bear, baby. I don't like to scare people, right?
Right.
So one of the things I did, and here's how to get a little more aware of blind spots, is I sat down with my team and I asked them specific questions. I told them I would like to develop this, a particular quality. What do you notice in me? What's your feedback? A woman looked at me and she said, you can be pushy. I said, I have learned the first thing you say, even though in your head you're thinking that's idiotic, is thank you. Thank you for saying that. Because let's face it, it takes some courage, takes some honesty. And so I said, could you give me an example? And like often happens, she said, well, I can't really think of something. And I said, well, thanks. About 2 weeks later, I am having a face-to-face conversation with a person in that she is off to my left in my peripheral vision. And in the corner of my eye, I see her while I'm talking to this guy, giving me the eyeball and kind of like, that's it. And for the very first time in my life, I actually had to say I knew what pushy looked like. And so getting feedback is a key process, but you have to listen to it and you're going to test it. Don't let everybody run your life. You have to test it. You have to find, what it really looks like. And then notice yourself, self-awareness. Mm. I mean, I lived with frustration for years and didn't even take the time to notice it. I just knew I was ticked about stuff, But then when you start to notice, you start to realize, well, a lot of that's out of my control, or I need to change something about myself, or, oh, this is really important to me. So we have to notice ourselves, too. But blind spots are tough. And sometimes it's painful when we start to come to see them.
And you make it, you and John David Mann made it come to life. This whole concept that we're talking about comes to life in a very digestible, easy to read, wonderful story called The Vagrant, The Inner Journey of Leadership. It's a parable by Dan Rockwell and John David Mann. Please get it, order it today, and maybe order a few copies and hand them out. If you're employed by somebody you think could use this book, give it to them. I love this concept of leading from where you are, and even if that means you're going to push some knowledge upstream from where you are, it's okay. Share this book with people you think could use the message on leadership, because I'm telling you, everyone can use this message right now. The book is The Vagrant. The author, Dan Rockwell and John David Mann. The blog is called leadershipfreak.blog. Dan Rockwell, thank you for the work you're putting into the world and the time you've taken with us today.
Chris, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be with you in Alaska.
There are a few books on a shelf, Zane Grey and a Bible, nothing else. He never went too far in school, always thought himself a fool, so much he couldn't understand. Ah, but give him a torch and some metal rod, he could weld anything in this world, by God. When it came to working with his hands, he was an educated man.
You're listening to On Top of the World. I'm Christopher Story. along with Mr. David Webb. When we return, we'll be talking about the price of a promise. Stick around.
Smarter than most PhDs, he can build anything you see.
You are listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. You can find me online at ilovehomeralaska.com. By the way, I just fixed something on the podcast. I don't know if you are subscribing to the podcast or not. Wait a minute. You're not? You should be. Subscribe to it wherever you get podcasts. ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast. If you just want to listen through our website, that's fine. If you want to catch every single download on your own device, subscribe wherever you want. I had a setting that was restricting the number of shows that you could get at one time, down to 4 for some reason. So I just adjusted it over the weekend. Something happened with a reset or something. I don't know why, but now you can get all 742 shows available at our podcast, wherever you get podcasts. The show's called On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Promises and the price of a promise. Jim Rohn said something fantastic. Many, many things he said that were fantastic. Quoted him often here over the last 16 years on the radio with you. And this is one of my favorites. He said, if you knew the promise was real, you'd pay the price. If you knew the promise was real, you'd pay the price, whatever it costs. Hey, the promise of $1 million is real. You'd pay the price to get it, to become the person that could earn $1 million, accumulate $1 million. Health, relationships, the promise of a better relationship is real if you just pay this price. But we don't know. We have to have faith. We have to believe, but we can look around. We can use anecdotal information. In 1911, Wallace D. Waddell wrote The Science of Getting Rich, and in it he said, and he put you on notice, in 1911, 112 years ago, he said, if anyone in your state is succeeding at something you want to do, you can too. There's no reason you can't. There's no excuse you can't. There's nothing holding you back but you. No one has a monopoly on all things success. Nobody has a monopoly on everything. And if there's somebody succeeding, you can't look yourself in the mirror and go, well, I can't. Yes, you can. Somebody's already doing it. You can look at that and go, that's the promise. It's real. And I'm going to pay the price. I suggested America's a promise. And you and I, you've inherited that promise. And maybe you've paid a price. Maybe your family has paid a price. Of course. But she's in jeopardy. And if you believe in the promise of individual sovereignty that's never been protected and enshrined anywhere else in the world like it is in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, if you believe in her, you're going to have to pay a price. You are going to have to pay a price. We together are going to have to pay a price. So if you believe in the promise, then you'll be willing to pay the price. Oh, I want to get into the music industry, but there's no room for anybody else. Oh, really?
Son, we're on the brink of the next world war, and I don't think nobody's praying no more, and I ain't saying I know it for sure. I'm just down on my knees begging the Lord and take me home. I want to go home.
Stage name Oliver Anthony. Tell me there's room. Tell him. Tell this man and his red beard and guitar there ain't no room for new musicians to make money.
Cussing myself every damn day. There's always some kind of bill to pay. People just doing what the rich man say.
So the promise is real. Are you willing to pay the price? For Oliver Anthony, I don't remember what his name is, but he goes by Oliver Anthony. He had to stop smoking marijuana. He paid the price of stopping a habit that was keeping him down. He said that everything changed when he gave up marijuana. His life changed, and he committed himself to a promise, and it became real. He paid the price. He paid the price in 10, 12 years prior to that in practicing, publishing his music online, but to no acclaim. Nobody was talking about him other than, prior to a couple of months ago. So the promise is real. Can you see that promise? It's out there. And if you can see it, well, then you probably would be willing to pay that price. Find somebody that's ahead of you on the ladder of life in anything you want to do. Any walk of life. Find somebody that's ahead of you, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, printed the t-shirt, maybe washed it a couple of times, laundered it, and get some advice. People love giving advice. Have you ever noticed that? If somebody asks you advice, doesn't it just feel good? You love it. So why would you be hesitant to ask of somebody else what you'd love to be asked? Like, how did you do that? Can you give me some advice on that? We love it. You love it. So be willing to ask somebody that's ahead of you on the ladder of life, how'd you get there? How'd you do it? What do you recommend? What you're not looking for and what will hold you back is if you're looking for a shortcut. If you're looking for an easy button, it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to hand you the easy button towards anything that it is you want. The promise still exists, but you've got to pay the price. Fitness is a great example. If you want to be fit, you know the price. We all do. We all know the price of fitness. You notice I didn't use the word health because that sometimes that can be snatched from you through no fault of your own. But fitness, that's right here. That's right here. I'm pointing to me. That's right on me. It's right on you, fitness. But if you're willing to pay the price, any promise is yours.
Here's to the good life, or so they say. All those parties and games that all those people play. They tell me this is the place to be. All these beautiful people and nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here. I don't belong here. Sometimes I feel like a stranger in town. And I've lost what I found. It'll all turn around. In a little while I'll be thinking about you. In a little while I'll still be here without you. You never gave me a reason to doubt you.
You're always welcome to email me anytime at ilovehomeralaska.com. Just go to the Contact Us page and find my profile. Shoot me an email. Welcome to text message me. I had a terrific call. Talk about asking for advice. I had a terrific call from an 18-year-old man earlier today, and it was fantastic. He's interested in becoming a realtor. We had this great conversation, and I shared with him my thoughts. Now, he can take them or leave them, but I was thrilled to get that call. I was thrilled. I promise you, whoever it is that you're looking for advice from is thrilled to give it. They want to give it and can improve your lot in life if you're willing to just simply ask. Thank you for being here. I want to thank Mr. David Webb. You know the music that is, I'll give you some insider lingo. Anybody who listened to Rush Limbaugh over the years knows is the bumper. He does the bumper music, does Mr. David Webb. He makes sure that the trains leave and arrive on time, and he's a fantastic engineer and producer and friend, and I appreciate him being part of this broadcast all these many years. And I want to thank you as well. I know a lot of you have been with us for a very long time. I just ran into somebody yesterday that I'd never once in the 16 years of this broadcast, never once heard from this person until yesterday, happened to bump into them. And I turned red at how affectionate they were for the program. And I had no idea they even listened. Somebody I've respected and known for a long, long time. And I had no idea that they listened. So I know you're there. And I want you to know I'm here. If you need anything, go to ilovehomeralaska.com and feel free to reach out, 907-299-7653. Feel free to text, message, or call me. Just not during the show. Don't call during the show. You can text during the show. That's always fine. Anyway, I love our little group of optimists, you and me, coming here together every week. Thursday, I've got a great show in store for you, The Backyard Millionaire. It's not just wealth. It's health. It's prosperity. It's family. It's relationships. all of it starts in your backyard. And everything you want in life, and I'm not blowing smoke here, everything you want is available to you in your own backyard. I'm Chris Story. For all of us here on Top of the World, reminding you to look forward in life, but live in the present. Okay? Don't look backward or forward too far. Live right here in the present. We'll see you next time.